I speak to you in the name of one God, creator, redeemer, and sustainer. Amen. Comfort ye, my people, says your God. Those words comprise not only the first sentence of the reading from Isaiah that we heard earlier, but they are also the opening lyrics of George Frideric Handel's masterpiece, The Messiah, which our choir performed so beautifully just last Sunday evening. The words from Isaiah and that we hear recited in Handel's Messiah are attributed to an anonymous prophet towards the end of the Babylonian exile, a time when the Jewish people who were being held captive in Babylon were finally given a chance to go home. The words were meant to comfort and reassure a struggling people that God never gave up on them. The first section of Handel's Messiah, which covers the story of Jesus' birth, and that we most often hear during the Advent season, ring with Isaiah's prophetic words of comfort, release, and God's glorious return. There are some other words from this Isaiah reading that remind me of music. The words, every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. Then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. Those words kind of remind me of a song, one you may know, one by Marvin Gaye. Cause baby, there ain't no mountain high enough, ain't no valley low enough, ain't no river wide enough to keep me from getting to you, babe. Many people have told me that I remind them of Marvin Gaye. But I can't help but think of that chorus of the song by Marvin Gaye and Tammy Terrell every time I hear these verses from Isaiah. Like the lovers in the song, nothing is going to keep God from getting to God's people. And I think we can learn something about this good news of God coming to God's people and the way that the author of Mark portrays this message in the opening verses of his gospel. Now, there's a lot packed into these opening verses, so I just want to start with the very first line, the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The first verses of Mark's gospel serve almost as a title for what is to follow. In Greek, the translation of good news is euangelion, which literally means a bit of good news or a pleasing message. In the first century, this word was often understood as a piece of political jargon in the Roman Empire. It was the wording that was used as the official designation for an important public announcement, like the emperor's son got engaged, or an important military battle had been won, or there had been a birth in the royal family. It was kind of like an official press report, a release from, say, the White House or some other high-profile public announcement signifying and signaling a significant change in public life. So Mark, in the very opening line of his gospel, uses language that many in the first century would associate with the Roman Empire to make an official proclamation of his own. And he makes this official announcement about this Jesus guy, who he calls the Son of God. Now, Son of God was a title reserved for royalty in the Roman Empire. It was the title that was inscribed on coins next to the picture of Roman emperors. And yet, the author of Mark takes this royal title and he ascribes it to Jesus. Mark uses the language of the Roman Empire to announce that there's going to be a regime change. A new kind of king is coming, Mark is saying. A new reign is about to begin that is going to change everything. He uses the language of the oppressor to talk about liberation. Mark immediately follows this first verse with a quote from Isaiah that we heard earlier. He kind of actually paraphrases it, and he throws a little bit of Malachi in there. But in any case, the verse from Isaiah calls our attention back to a time when God went to great lengths to get to God's people. So by calling our attention to these verses of Isaiah, Mark announces that God is once again coming to God's people. But before Mark launches into this good news about this Jesus fellow, the Son of God, we hear all about John the Baptist, a guy who hangs out in the wilderness and wears camel's hair and a leather belt and eats locusts and wild honey and talks all about repentance and confession and baptizes people in the Jordan River. I used to work with a priest who compared John the Baptist to Hagrid from the Harry Potter series, and for some reason that's always stuck in my head. That's how I picture John the Baptist, this big, larger-than-life, hairy, sort of gruff guy. But the John we hear about in this morning's lesson is pretty adamant that he is only a transitional figure. He calls attention away from himself and focuses it on the one who is to come. John, like the prophets before him, serves as a herald, a messenger preparing the way. Just like some of the prophets in the Old Testament who preach repentance and confession for Israel for straying from God, John the Baptist calls for repentance in this morning's lesson. And I just want to pause for a moment and say that repentance and confession doesn't sound like the good news we want to hear this time of year. Repentance involves facing the truths about ourselves, and it involves changing the direction of our lives. And who wants to do either of those things, especially when outside the church doors, the world is full of Christmas lights and pictures with Santa Claus and Christmas carols every which way we turn? Yet, within the church, the weeks of Advent prepare the way of the coming of Christ via a liturgical wilderness. This Sunday, and the other Sundays of Advent, as Reverend Rachel reminded us when she proclaimed Happy New Year just last Sunday, tell us that the Christian story is one that begins with longing and waiting. We, like the crowds listening to John the Baptist, seek God's intervention to set things right, especially during a time when it can be hard to find a bit of hope. During this season of Advent, the hope that John points to, and that we are all called to point to, is simply the hope of arrival. The arrival of God into this world. A God who works in ways beyond our knowing, but loves us so much that he gave his only Son to dwell among us. Like the reading from Isaiah, where God comes to God's people in the midst of captivity, or even in the beginning of Mark's gospel that is intended to bring good news to Mark's audience, a people suffering under Roman occupation. This morning's readings tell us of the promise that there is no place God will not go to find us. God goes to unimaginable lengths to draw us back into relationship with God and one another. That is the hope that we wait and long for during this Advent season. Ain't no mountain high enough, ain't no valley low enough, ain't no river wide enough to keep me from getting to you, babe. Amen.